What is up, Dolphin fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Monday morning, afternoon, whatever you want to say. Actually, it depends on what side of the United States you're on. Because if you're on the West Coast right now, it is the morning. I like saying things and then just staring at Alan's face. And waiting for him to make a face about it.
I was just amazed by the brilliance of that. No.
Appreciate it. be sure to check out our sponsors. We have Prize Picks. You play $5, you get $50 instantly using that promo code HMA. We will talk about them later in the video. And we've got another sponsor back. SeatGeek, baby. SeatGeek. Let's see what Doug had to say about SeatGeek. Shout out to today's sponsor, SeatGeek. I love using SeatGeek. I use it constantly. The app is fantastic. 35 million downloads. SeatGeek is the number one rated ticket app. More than 70,000 events on SeatGeek, including concerts, sports, festivals, more. You got the MLB happening right now, NBA, NHL playoffs. I am actually on June 11th going to see a Mets game, to bring in my daughter for the first time to a Mets game. Yes, I know. I'm going to torture her. But I got my tickets through SeatGeek. Super fun, super easy to use. And this week, the NFL schedule is being released. So you can go ahead and grab your Dolphin tickets early. Super, super, super early. Tickets are fully guaranteed and instantly fulfilled in your account after the purchase. I literally bought the Mets tickets and less than 24 hours later, boom, they were in my account. So be sure to use the promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of tickets at SeatGeek. Again, 10% off any tickets, festivals, concerts, games, using that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Make sure you click the link in the description to download the app and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. Again, thank you, SeatGeek, for sponsoring the Dolphin Collective. It's a beautiful man right there telling you guys about SeatGeek. Yeah, I'm taking on June 11th. I'm taking my daughter to see the Mets.
I am going to a Rick Ross concert at the end of the month. Tickets bought on SeatGeek. Rick Ross is doing a orchestra concert. You know how they're doing now. Rap artists are performing with live orchestras, and you're wearing your tux. Your lady's wearing her evening gown. You're dressing up fancy.
Nice.
Oh, man.
Rick Ross, Cheap Pride. That's right.
Go grab yourself some tickets. Collective 10, you get 10% off, baby. So let's talk about rookie camp. To the gentlemen on this panel were there. They got to see a little bit. Like, just what, like 20 minutes? Like, did you guys really get to see?
We got 40 minutes, actually, because there are two 20-minute periods. We used to have 10-minute periods, and this coach, maybe he does 20-minute periods. So
was it like 20 minutes, then you guys left and then came back for another 20? Was it like that, or is it two 20, and then they were like, get the hell out of here? Did you see much? Like, was there any plays? Now, I know you can't tell us, but, like, did you see any, like, plays or anything? Or is it, like, stretching?
It's funny because Jeff Hafley came up to us at the beginning of it and was basically like, you know, we're teaching guys how to stretch and how to run through drills. Like, this, as I consistently tell you, it's like, you know, they went 20 minutes over how to stretch properly, which is something that's important in the NFL. I mean, if you work out, you should know how to stretch, even though I do a very poor job of stretching.
You know, you're not playing the NFL.
Yeah, but it's for us old guys, Alan. We gotta, you know,
get yourself, all right.
We gotta get better at stretching. I saw them very meticulously go through a lot of the very specific position drills where you can watch players in the end. You will see it in training camp, and they'll just go through it for 10 minutes. But they went through the finer points of hand here, body placement here when you come underneath. I watched the linebackers very closely, and I watched the cornerbacks as well. Chris Johnson's hands, like little too many drops. I know it was, you know, rookie camp day one, but I'm like, come on, brother.
Chris Johnson.
I mean, yes, Chris Johnson. Yes.
Oh, Chris Johnson. Yeah. It's corner. As long as he can bat it down, right?
I'm with you on that one, to be honest with you.
Come on, you want picks for the guy to make pro.
Oh, of course, but beggars can't be choosers, man.
Come on.
I just want tight coverage. I want tight coverage. I'll take batted balls down. I don't need an interception machine, but I would like when the ball is in your hands for you to catch it.
Hey, as long as he's in position.
What happened? Huh?
Weren't you ragging on Byron Jones back in the day for not getting picks?
Of course. I mean, but he was the highest paid safe cornerback in the NFL.
The coverage was good.
It was all right.
As long as he's in a position to drop it, that's a good position. A great position. I'm just saying. And he'll get some of them, Allen, but I heard it was the best stretching we've done in 20 years.
It was the longest stretch period in 20 years.
Yes, without a doubt, the longest stretch in 20
years. At least our rookie's going to be limber. You know, that's what is
important. Since I don't stretch because I'm not old enough to need to stretch, I don't know what a good stretching period looks like. So,
New era.
I'm old enough to need to stretch, so I don't know, man. If I got to stretch.
Actually, I need to stretch. I'm just too stupid to do it.
I need to stretch. If I wake up
the next morning, I can barely get out of bed.
Exactly. You get to that age. Once you get around 40, you're like, oh. So again, it was
as the numbers get older, it gets worse.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When you start getting up from sitting and you go, huh? That's when you're like, all right, I gotta start stretching a little.
Here's my WD-40 here, put some in the joints over here.
You pick something up, you're like, oh, all right. But yeah, it was just, hey, rookies, here you go, get ready for this. And you know, there's not much to really talk about. I will say this though, and I made a video about it today that I like, especially you know, when you learn more about these rookies and they talk to them. And then, like, you have Rager, who, you know, they told him, you know, he said that a doctor told him, you know, you might want to think about just medically retiring. You know, a lot of these players, not just the rookies, where you have Proctor, who people keep saying, okay, you're the weight issue, you have Rodriguez, too small of a linebacker. You have, you know, all of these guys where there was the stigma with them coming, you know, being drafted by the Dolphins. And then you have all of these one-year contract guys. This team, to me, again, I'm not trying to sell hope, but it seems like bad news bears, this 2026 Miami Dolphins. They all got something to prove, you know.
I don't know about all that. I mean, you want a career in the NFL. It's your opportunity, and it's sitting right there for you. What, Lonnie Johnson Jr.? Okay, you felt like you got a bad hand dealt to you in Houston, and then other people favored their rookies or young players or free agents, and you never got a fair opportunity. I mean, that's what Lonnie Johnson's thinking.
Correct.
That, you know. Look, years, Tutu Atwell. Like,
okay, maybe it's you. I don't know.
Tolbert, you know, he got there and his team traded for a better wide receiver. And Tutu Atwell, he got a young player came up and took over the league. And, you know,
the whole roster is hungry, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know the last time we had a roster that was this hungry. When you look at all the players you mentioned, you don't think, and also you don't think Proctor ain't hearing, oh, everybody say this shouldn't have been the pick. You
let's
know,
not talk man, about this... hungry and Proctor. That's not fair.
Stop. No, but this is a hungry roster, man. Hey, hold on. A lot of guys
Let me say something about Proctor, because I'm catching a lot of heat for comparing him to John Jerry. And when I make that comparison, it's about the girth. It's it's just a massive human being that you're not going to. There's no defensive tackle in my mind that's going to pressure him to the quarterback and just drive him backwards. Mm-hmm. Now, could happen, but it's just a massive human being. Does he move better than John Jerry? Let's hope he does. But my thing is, he's not fat. He's big boned and he's thick. Like, it's everywhere. It's arms, mm-hmm. it's legs, it's just a huge human being.
Sound like an all pro to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure he'll ever be.
No, all pro, forget that, Hall of Famer.
All pro, Alan. Don't be going too far with these guys. They ain't proved nothing yet.
He talked about that too. He was talking about, you know, playing guard and, you know, taking on the double teams and helping out the center and the tackle and stuff, and, you know, being able to move.
And it's, they can clean up easy. Yeah, he's very confident.
Okay, and by the way, this whole thing about they're all hungry with something to prove, that doesn't apply to 95% of the NFL. Seriously, Come on.
Your first, like Mendoza, he's the first overall.
You don't think he's going to be a backup to Kirk Cousins? You don't think he's got something to prove?
No, he's not. He's starting. They're already comparing him to Tom Brady.
Tom Brady believes in quarterback sitting and learning and watching.
Yeah, this will be the first time a first round overall pick does sit. Tom Brady not going to let him start.
I commend them for it too.
They should. Yeah, quarterbacks should sit. They shouldn't be thrown out there quick. But like, all these guys with these big contracts, if you look at like all of the at least top 10 of each position, they don't really have, what do they have to prove?
Top 10, you mean top 10 highest paid players at their mm-hmm. position? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they got to prove that they earn the money, that they deserve the money. Sometimes they got to prove that they can get to the next contract.
Jordan
Brooks got something to prove?
And that's 10% of the league.
Yeah, but he hasn't been paid yet. Jordan Brooks hasn't been paid.
He has been paid. His last contract was real money.
He's due real money.
He's due top-end money, but he just got $21 million. I think he's at completing his $21 million. If I gave any of y'all $21 million, y'all be set for life.
Set me up for life, Omar.
So you guys don't think that this 2026 team has something to prove and is hungry?
That's a very polite way of saying that their roster is lacking badly in proven commodities.
But again, you brought up Tutu Atwell, and you know, we bring up Jalen Tolbert. These guys have showed that they can play, but then they got pushed down by going out and getting these other receivers.
Who are better than them. So it tells you that again, it's all fine and dandy that you're hoping to find some hidden gems among the 20 players that you sign, but to suggest, well, they're going to be really good because they're all hungry.
No, well, I never suggested that.
Well, some guys get caught in this little storm in the NFL, and basically what happens is they bring you in, you're not ready yet. You know, like on a scale of 1 to 10, you're a 5 starting out. Then they're like automatically, man, we need to invest for real in the position. They go get a star. And this player is developing into the 6s and the 7s, and they're getting better, but they're passed up already. What I feel like we brought. Yeah, you hope, but these guys got some wheels.
A lot of times, these situations for the Lonnie Johnsons and the Tutu Atwells is when their time comes and their opportunity comes, they just did okay. Or
it's true.
Their time comes and then they get hurt. Then they got to go back on the hopper, like Juju Brents. Juju Brents was balling for the 2 games he was playing for the Dolphins. And then, like, he basically got injured and went bye-bye.
It was the NFL themselves comparing him to Tom Brady already.
Whatever. Yeah, marketing. Who cares?
But sometimes, Omar, their time comes too soon. It's no different from a Sam Darnold. Like, he had his shot, but it was too soon. And now, look at him now. We're talking Super Bowl champ, playing at a high level. Sometimes you have to grow into it.
He also had 2 years to learn, develop, progress after, you know, failure. Whereas, you know, there's a certain quarterback, I'm not going to mention his name, but he, you know.
Sam did it year one. Sam did it with Minnesota.
Mm-mm. No, Sam was in 49ers, Carolina 49ers, and then Minnesota.
Oh, no, I'm talking about when he was ready, when he went to a coach who caters to quarterbacks. Who
after was, 2 years of being in the offense, then he was ready to go in. And really, he was a number two in Minnesota until the rookie got hurt. Yeah, he was a number two in Minnesota. Yeah,
and then Kirk Cousins was the starter in Minnesota.
No.
J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, and he got hurt in training camp. I look at this season as, let's hope you find three Zach Sealers. You're going to throw stuff against the wall to see if it sticks. You're going to claim practice squad players. You're going to, you know, even Sullivan said he's going to be churning the bottom of his roster, which you should have been doing. I hated that about the Mike McDaniel era. It's like, if you're on the team, you're safely on the team. Nobody's ever going to challenge you or replace you. Everybody needs to be here from the beginning of camp to the end of camp. Like, I just thought that was so weak-minded. But then that goes along with how Mike is, and everybody needs to be feel safe and secure and love. Turn the dudes.
That was only because of one person, but yeah, I get it.
There it is. Boop.
No, it was. He brought that mentality in for one person and then start spreading it through the team, because that's how it works.
I disagree, but I'm not getting into two of
them. When that person is the quarterback and everybody sees it, that's why you have people like Ramsey barking. Oh, he ain't going to treat me. If you're going to treat him like that, I'm sure going to take advantage. That's how I feel like guys take advantage that way. Just saying.
By
the way, for the person in the chat who's asking what three Zach Sealer means, the Dolphins, in training the roster in 2019, claimed Zach Sealer off waivers from the Baltimore Ravens, and he's turned, obviously, to be quite the baller. So the idea, as Omar's suggesting, is to find three guys like that who fall by the wayside from another team, to which I would say good luck, because finding one Zach Sealer happened once in, 8 years?
That you mean during cuts? Finding three when the cuts
happen? Out of all these guys that are NFL hopefuls and journeymen and Jags and rookies, I mean, there's 24 rookies on the roster. 20 of them are going to make the team one way or the other. Like practice squad or 53. Like, so maybe, you know what, in an ideal world, I would say you get five Koamisis out of this batch. And I know y'all want better than Koamisi, but Koamisi was
from the free agents.
From this batch of rookies. Like,
I thought you were talking about, like, because the free agent, all of them were signed to 1 year deals, all for like between 1.1 and 1.3. If you find me five serviceable players there, I'll be very happy.
Oh, absolutely. Five serviceable players.
So we easily throw out five Koamisis, three Zach Sealers. How many?
And a partridge and a pear tree.
Yeah. How many Laramie Tunsils?
Laramie Tunsil was a
how many luck. Waddles
that ended up on your lap by luck, sir?
Maybe one Laramie Tunsil if Proctor pans out. Who else?
How many A-chans? How many? See, this is what
Jacob Rodriguez is an A-chan.
Disrespect is real. We got like five players with potential to be great.
Who has the potential to be great?
I mean, almost every one of the first four or five draft picks have the potential to be great. Proctor, Chris Johnson, Rodriguez, at least one of the receivers between Caleb and Bell. Come on, man. In the tight end, he might end up being one of the best ones in the league.
Ooh, easily. All pro.
No, I'm not saying easily. But y'all disregard that possibility.
Okay.
Like, just give me three Koamisis and
five. I said five.
Five. Come on, man. We gotta think that we drafted at least one, two, or three of these guys. And wow, we got another Xavier Howard. We got another Robert Hunt. We got another Christian Wilkins.
I'll let you know in training camp.
All right.
Three is a lot more reasonable than five, because you went to five TD, and five is like, whoa. Nope.
Yeah, but it's a lot of rookies.
It's a lot of rookies, but they're gonna learn the hard way. They're gonna learn on the fly. They're going to make mistakes, and it's going to cost you games.
You're going to learn today.
Y'all treating John Eric like Chris Greer, like from day one. That's
no, how no, 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 no.
Name me the Green Bay Packer rookie that come out and just was just
they killing. Didn't select the Green Bay Packer players. They had words. They probably had suggestions, but this is his regime. This isn't, you can't compare him to Green Bay either.
I mean, you telling me he coming from Green Bay and John Eric Sullivan, he different. Like, okay, show me. The minute you could draft an offensive lineman, I'll be proud of you.
How many rookies did Chris Greer hit when he had 10 or 15 of them?
Jalen Phillips. 10
or 15 of them.
Devon Holland. Yeah, he had 10.
Once. That's 2020. And he whiffed on that draft. We all know that.
How he whiffed on the 2020 draft?
You're joking, right?
I mean, he got one of the best quarterback pro. Oh, yeah, you're right. Wrong year.
He can't help himself. The dude cannot help himself.
Hey, you threw the alley.
Austin, Tua's a starter in the NFL. Austin Jackson's a starter in the NFL. Can we say no? Ignogany's a starter.
Never mind. All right. Never mind.
You're joking, right, Omar? You're joking, right?
Robert Hunt's a starter in the NFL. Raekwon Davis was a starter in the NFL till
Brandon Jones. Medical
issue. Brandon Jones is a starter in the NFL.
Holland.
That wasn't.
No, that was next year.
Oh, you're talking about the one specific year.
Yeah, they have four solid picks. One, two, three.
Five. Solid picks. Really good value on Austin Jackson at 18. Sorry.
It's still a starter in the NFL, man.
You said really solid value.
I'm not saying solid value. Did I say solid value?
Thank you.
I got a good question then. Austin Jackson or Proctor, which one did you Proctor. Feel was the better prospect?
Proctor.
Proctor. Proctor, not even close. Not even close.
Okay, we good. All right.
Because Proctor can play on the left side. Proctor's massive. Austin Jackson came in with, like, young and, like, having a so-so junior season at
missed a year of football.
Where was he at? USC.
Much lower ceiling.
To save his sister's life. So
yeah, 100%.
Respect on it.
Yeah.
I got a better one then.
It was a reach.
Javon Holland as a prospect, not knowing what you know now. Javon Holland as a prospect or Chris Johnson?
Javon Holland.
Really?
Yeah. I like Chris Johnson
as
too.
The prospect.
Yeah, I like Chris Johnson. Yeah, Javon Holland.
Here's the thing, though. I say that having not had the privilege of having chats with Javon Holland, because from my understanding and what I've learned about Chris Johnson and what I've learned about Javon Holland is Chris Johnson, personality wise, is a lot more of a guy you want on your team than Javon Holland.
Mm-hmm.
That goes a long way in terms of ceiling and athletic ability. Javon Holland.
I'm not going to disparage Javon Holland, but I think his personality has a lot to do with where he is.
I'll go ahead and say Javon Holland's a lot about Javon Holland.
I don't know if I would go that far.
You kind of saw it in 2024. Like, you kind of saw it a little bit, and that's where...
That's not fair. He was playing through some serious injuries.
It is
a lot of players would have shut themselves down for.
No, I get it, but
he shut himself down in the 2023 finale against Buffalo in that Sunday night game, and that did not play well.
Yeah, and you saw a lot of us Dolphin fans saw it in 2024 where he was not playing the same like he used to, where he would go in and make those tackles.
You ain't pay me, so why am I going to jeopardize my?
And that is a problem.
That's not his problem. That's the Dolphins' problem.
He's not on the Dolphins.
You didn't compensate me. So why am I giving up my body for you? Even though she should have probably not played because he broke his hand. He had a knee issue, knee scope. A lot of people would have shut that thing down. So let's put some respect on.
I'm surprised Dolphins. In 2024 they didn't. Some players didn't start shutting it down once we hit like what. 2024, didn't we start crappy in 2024 and 2025? Yes. Something started shutting it down then.
Because they were making a move, and they declined trading Calais Campbell because they thought they could make a run in the second half of the season, which they did. And then it went plop the second they played good teams at toward the end of the season.
Did you see the report where Calais Campbell actually wasn't happy about that? Not getting traded at the deadline?
That's not true. That's
not okay.
True.
All right.
That's not true.
That's what I wonder, because we had heard conflict from what we heard.
He understood what they were doing. They made an agreement that if they were out of the playoff equation at any point, they would release him. Mm. And the fact that they were in it in the final game, he stayed. He probably would have wished that they would have still cut him. But Calais knew how important he was. If Calais had left, that thing would have just...
You mean more like than it did?
Like
more
it did. Like it did.
They put it together. They put it together, and then it came apart the scenes in the season finale. I mean, they didn't have to, but you know.
Yeah, I didn't know Javon Holland shut it down.
He did not shut it down. Not that season. 2023.
No, I'm saying 2023.
He shut it down in 24.
He didn't feel. He didn't. I support players when they don't feel like they're. Shocker.
You support the players, shocker.
I support players when they don't feel like they're putting their best, because teams are going to hold it against you no matter what. Mm-hmm. You go out there and you play at 70%. I encourage players all the time, do not play at 70%.
Because hold on. Against Buffalo in a game for the AFC's title, he yanked himself out of the game because he didn't feel he could produce at the highest level. How about you let your coaches decide that? If you're able to play, how about you let your coaches decide whether they'd be better off with your backup than you at less than 100%?
Yeah, because they killed Tyreek for it, and he was playing on a messed up hand. Just saying.
Tyreek had issues throughout the 2024 season. I have zero issue with him saying, I'm done with. We're out of playoffs. I look into the scoreboard. Denver's killing KC. The only issue I take with Tyreek was he should have let folks know. Guys, I've been hurt. I've been playing hurt all year. We're done. It sucks. Take me out.
Yeah, it was a bad look. That I know that Waddle wasn't asking him like a "What are you doing?" Just more like "Are you done?" But for the people on the outside, it was a bad look when Waddle was like, "You done?" And he was like, "I'm done." He was like,
"I'm with it as well. Why be out there playing meaningless snaps, risking injury, when I've never supported that? Like, you know how many times I've seen players pull themselves from the season finale when nothing is at stake. That whole team quit on Adam Gase in that final game at Buffalo. It was like, we done, all us. Like, no, we don't want him back. We're done, all us." And they got blown out like 40-15 or something like that. 42-17. Okay, my bad.
Always.
Yeah. I don't. And with Javon, I didn't like the individual character wise, he was just too cantankerous for my taste.
Nice.
I don't knock him. He played with a broken hand. Mm. He played with a knee that was scoped in a contract year and didn't go on IR.
Then when he had the double knee sprain, that was a funky injury.
Oh, that was 2023. And that was when you knocked him. Said that he pulled himself. He couldn't change directions on his.
I didn't say anything about that game. I said the Buffalo game at the end of the year is the one that I have an issue with.
It was the Jets game that he hurt.
He was coming back from that, and he couldn't. Two injured knees. There's nowhere for you to like lean. No other knee to lean on. Like
that was that was 6 weeks after the fact, and he said I pulled myself because I didn't feel I could play up to my capabilities. And my answer is going to be the same. Why don't you let the coaches decide that? If you can physically play, let the coaches decide how effective or ineffective you are. Not your call to make, to decide.
Absolutely, no. His call to make, his career, his call. Mm. His body, his you missed, body.
You missed your
call.
Calling, my friend. You missed your calling.
I got scared, Omar. I got scared. I was like, no.
Player agent. I'm gonna call you Drew from now on.
My body, my choice. Drew.
I got so scared. I'm like, don't do it. Don't worry. Don't get political now, please, Jesus. Let's get into some prize picks. TD, let's change direction a little bit. You got anything going on? We got the Knicks sweeping Philly. Sweeping them 4-0, baby. 4-0. I'm not even a Knicks fan. That was just fun to watch. We got some NBA playoffs. We got NHL playoffs. We got baseball going on. You got anything going on with your prize?
Yes, sir. I do. I was thinking about it today. I can't get off of this. Every time something happens in the NFL, it makes me go straight to prize picks and make an adjustment on my picks. And one of them that stood out to me, I keep telling y'all, the Chargers are going to be going off this year. They just got Njoku as well. They just keep on making Mike McDaniel's offense better with Herbert. So I went and made another ticket, man. I don't know if we can share it on the screen. But I know what to do. Okay. Yeah, I got Herbert with 3,524.5 yards. I put the over on that. I think he's going to be well over 4,000 this season. And I also have HN. It went up a little, but they still got this man under 1,000 yards. They still have Devin HN under 1,000 yards at 975.5. So I had to take the over on that. Then I also went with Malik Willis. I took the touchdowns before I even expose how many touchdowns. How many do you think he's getting this year, Doug?
If I had to go over under, I think it's north of 23.
Omar, what you think? Malik
north
Willis.
23. I'm north of
23. Now, are we talking rushing and passing or just passing?
Just passing.
Yeah, north of 23. Yeah, north of 23.
They got him at 15.5.
I had to jump on it.
I had to jump on it, man. So I took the over on Malik Willis's passing touchdown. Because he's going to be an MVP candidate this year that y'all don't realize, but I do. Y'all remember you heard me say it first. But that's crazy to me. They no respect for Dolphin players. No money coming in on them. That's why I'm telling y'all, y'all better get in on that action.
But 2,300 yards from Malik Willis, he's had to average 139 yards, passing yards per game.
Yeah.
135 passing yards per game.
Yeah. Go look at Geno's.
But now he'd have to, play 17 games.
Now that's the wild card to it. But, you know, is there a reason why we think he can't? Mm-hmm. I mean, does he have a consistent history? I mean, even though he hasn't been on the field much, but I look at him playing a full season. I look at him being healthy, hopefully, knock on wood, and balling out this year, man. This is Malik's year. I mean, this is the only chance he got. This is his last chance. This is his last chance. This is desperation.
I think he's got two more.
Two more what?
2 years.
No, I'm saying Miami is your last chance to become a guy, the lead guy of an organization. So you're thinking if he fails in Miami, he's going to get a shot to start somewhere else?
I think he's got a 2-year window to prove who he's going to be as a quarterback in the NFL, whether he's going to be a starter, whether he's going to be a top upper echelon backup, whether he's going to be a scrambling quarterback who's a dual threat weapon. I think $45 million gets you 2 years, playboy. It does.
Well, if he play like Justin Fields, that $45 million getting wiped out after the first year.
Justin Fields came back. Oh, no, Justin Fields did not come back.
He flops, the Dolphins have a high pick. They take a quarterback. That quarterback might start as a rookie. That might be it for Malik Willis.
And they spread that little money out, plus that extra year helps it, and probably some voids on top of that. That's why I say his contract ain't even consequential, really.
It's 2 years, $45 million. I'm not worried about his contract. Like, as I say to y'all all the time, the only money that counts is guaranteed money.
The real money.
I've heard that before.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the $45 million will buy him 2 years. Whether it's a rookie quarterback, they won't rush him onto the field. He'd have to beat out Malik Willis. Now, you know, I think Malik's going to get 2 years.
I do. Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to get 10 years. I mean, I think he's going to be our franchise quarterback. I think he's going to ball out this year. We're going to extend his contract on a major deal. And we got our guy. Let's keep building around him. And let's go win these Super Bowls.
The problem that I have with you saying that is the history of backups elevating themselves into very prominent starters. The last guy to do it was probably Matt Hasselbeck. And that's a long time ago.
You mean Sam Darnold?
No, Sam Darnold started out as a starter. I'm talking about a guy who's worked his way from backup to prominent NFL starter. Like a guy that not a recycled guy. This is a guy that he's been a career backup, and now it's his time.
Purdy wasn't a backup.
Jimmy G.
Purdy. Jimmy what about G, Purdy? Okay. Wasn't he a backup?
Jimmy G was good. Jimmy. When I say that, I meant guys who got free agent contracts, but Jimmy G technically got a free agent contract. He got traded, then he got the big money. So Jimmy G does apply. Jimmy G, Purdy's, I don't know. That really was the backup. They just elevated him, and he played better than the first round draft pick and history, c'est la vie. Like,
what I just love the most, the fact that nobody knows what Malik is going to be this year.
That's correct.
Yeah. And when I look at the intangibles, he can be as good as anybody in this league. I'm excited to
see that OTAs next week, Poupard. Is it next week?
Yep, Monday, the 18th.
Next week.
He don't throw four picks in the rain.
Like I was saying, that's like the whole team. You know, it's a lot of guys that have big question marks. But
everything but your inside linebacker unit's got a question mark.
So this week schedule comes out the 14th. So this week you're going to get a lot of schedule talk. We'll probably do somewhat of a preview, on Wednesday, and then Friday we'll react to the schedule coming out, 'cause it's going to be out, Thursday, 8:00. I don't want it spoiled. So if you guys find out things about the schedule,
no, you're not. You're gonna do episodes about the leaks. You are.
Every year I go radio silent. I never do it until at 8:00. Then I make my video and I fresh eyes. I see it every year. Yeah, I don't even go on Twitter. Like, you'll see Wednesday because they're gonna start leaking it. You won't see me on Twitter for Wednesday and Thursday. I don't want to know.
This year is going to be different, though, with the schedule. I just feel like for the first time, we're not going to be talking to people saying, oh, but the cold weather. I feel like we're going to be all right moving forward in cold weather.
It'd be nice. It'd be a nice change to stop having to deal with the cold weather.
Today, I'm sorry, I can't resist, but this is the part where some folks might say it won't matter because they're going to suck in both hot weather and cold weather. Not me, mind you, but some people might say.
You know, but man, you know, I get it. Dolphin fans have been beat down so much. You know, there is no optimism out here. I feel like I'm on an island. Nobody believes that these guys can just be great. And by the way, I do know
great.
Who Tom's.
Great,
no, yes,
great.
See, that's my point. Y'all don't even give it room for possibility to me.
Okay, there's a one out of 50% chance they'll be great.
Anything's possible, Alan.
Yes, correct. One out of 50 chance.
I think a year that you're implementing a rookie quarterback in a new offense, building a new defense with 20 rookies on the team, 10 of them playing prominent roles. Then you got your second year players playing prominent roles too. And you're just rosters paper thin as it is before injuries. Because injuries happen. Man, this is a hot mess waiting to happen.
So yeah. Somebody asked a good question in the chat about, are the Dolphins playing in Mexico City? Now, they're not losing a home game internationally, right? Because they only have 8 of them versus the 9 away. And the report is, again, this is just rumors, that they'll be playing the 49ers in Mexico City.
November 22nd, week 11.
Let's hope. Right before Thanksgiving.
You don't really need a bye.
Hold on, Thanksgiving?
You're not going overseas. You just
that's right before Thanksgiving.
Week before Thanksgiving.
Okay. W.
Listen, and I got spoiler alert. The Dolphins will not, even if they don't play against the 49ers on November 22nd, they will not open against the 49ers. Slam dunk. Scoop. That's because the 49ers open against the Rams in Australia. But I will tell you this, as I wrote on MiamiDolphinsOnTheSide.com, if you look, you're talking about a Rick Ross concert. There's a Bruno Mars concert at Hard Rock Stadium September 19th and 20th. Pardon me, September 19th and 20th, which means Dolphins are going to be on the road in week two. And unless the NFL slaps him in Jeff Hafley's first year with back-to-back road games to start the season, which I would find surprising, then the Dolphins are going to be opening at home.
I was hoping – I like when they start out on the West Coast with a home opener like they did in 2023 with L.A. West Coast at a
home opener. No, Playboy.
But you saying that means they're probably not going to.
Why do we have to start out with a West Coast home opener? Those West Coast games are my favorite Dolphin games.
Well, it's better because then you don't have to worry about the trip and the time delay and yada yada.
Just go to the West Coast. I want them to put Vegas and the West Coast game together and just stay out there for the entire week.
Because they play
That's Raiders. That would be more. They play Raiders and then they play 49ers. Yeah. But if the 49ers game is going to Mexico,
Denver also, but that's not.
We also got a Green Bay travel and Minnesota travel too.
Green Bay is not that bad.
Minnesota. I'm not too worried. About. Yeah,
as long as you don't put that in the cold weather area climate of the schedule, like
in Denver.
Now, the NFL likes to put. Not necessarily likes to, but they tend to put crappy games on Monday Night Football. Would you say that?
They don't. They put a lot of Giants and Cowboys. And
actually, you know what? Thursday Night Football is when they really put the crappy games.
Yeah, Thursday nights, because Thursday night's a division game, and everybody's supposed to get one.
If you go back, I think it was like 2023. There was like a stint of just bad Monday Night games.
Because those teams that you expected to be good, like Cincinnati, they lost players to injury. The Giants were crap. It's always the Giants and the Cowboys and the Eagles. It's like they feel like that division has to play on Monday night, Sunday night, or.
But my question is, if I had to pick one primetime game. Like, say the Dolphins do get one, minus Thursday Night Football, because it seems like everyone has to play Thursday Night Football. I would say it would be Dolphins at Green Bay. I feel like that is a game. You got how many Green Bay Packers going back to Green Bay? I could see that being a primetime game.
It could be a Thursday night game. Bringing the coach and the GM back.
Put that on a Thursday. You want Thursday night games to be division games. So they don't. They're not.
I was hoping it would be, but with what Alan said about the Bruno Mars concert and maybe they do play back to back. I would like that to be one of the Monday night. Do the late Monday.
Hold on. Here's something to consider. Last time the Dolphins played at Green Bay was on Thanksgiving night. Mm-hmm. The time before that they faced each other was on Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. Is the NFL going to go like we're going to put Miami and Green Bay on national TV three straight times that they face each other?
They could, because those holidays be like throwaways to them outside of the Cowboys and all of those.
Yeah, they're getting
the rest of those games are typically.
I understand that, but and to me, it's just I find it hard to believe that Miami Green Bay is going to be a prime time.
That's why you got to do it early, because you don't know. You know how bad are the Dolphins really going to be? Well, play them week three, Monday Night Football.
In an ideal world, you play Buffalo in September at home. I mean, you play Buffalo in September up there. And then you bring them down home.
Didn't we do that last year?
No, we played them.
We played Buffalo in Buffalo pretty early. I thought.
Yes,
week three.
Early. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thursday night game week three.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's do that.
Yeah, I can't wait for that Green Bay game because I already think Malik better than Jordan Love anyway. So.
No,
it's gonna be a good game. Why not?
Because Jordan Love's got way more weapons, way more stability, better coaching.
Yeah. Y'all gonna learn this year. Baby. It's Malik season, baby.
You know what's funny? I get, I got pushback for saying the Dolphins will win 5-6 games. I got
pushback. Yeah, because like, you're too low.
Who doesn't win 5-6 games?
Where are you getting the other two from? I'm like, seriously?
Like, the team doesn't win 5-6 games in NFL.
That's what I'm saying. It's the NFL. Well. Injuries and change of
there's some teams that are pretty. The Jets were bad last year.
They were trying not to win games.
What was the
Raiders? The Jets?
They traded their whole team.
I mean, I get that. Well, the like Jets the organic team.
Let's just be honest with the Jets. Yeah. No offense to the Jets, but
and they still didn't get a quarterback. They got Geno Smith.
Tennessee. Man, you're Raiders, gunslinger though. Giants.
You want him?
Who, Arizona? Geno?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
I mean, I would take Geno if we had like Tyreek Waddle and all of the elite weapons. I would take Geno. You're gonna get him the ball. But on a building team, making sure you want chemistry and all of that. No, Geno, just a bridge.
That hurts your soul, doesn't it, Omar?
No, it's all right. It's all right. Last year, he didn't have Tyreek, so it's all good.
And we saw what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Anybody?
By the way, the Dolphins have played Buffalo in primetime 4 straight years. I have a hard time believing
it. It's the safest bet. If you're going to give Miami a Thursday night game.
This year, though.
Hold on. If you're going to give Miami a Thursday night game, it might as well be Buffalo.
It'll be Buffalo.
So how many primetime games y'all think we're going to get?
Well, what you going to think? It's going to be New England?
Two?
I say two. Yeah.
I say two. You get a Thursday
night and then
your Monday night bone.
Yeah, who your Monday night?
No, nah, we're going to get three.
We'll get a Monday.
Thursday in the San Francisco game in Mexico City.
Okay.
Then we'll get four. We'll get four then.
I think we'll get a Monday. You know when they randomly just do a doubleheader on Monday night?
They're not doing that anymore.
No? It's just at all? Or is it just week one is getting the doubleheader?
I believe they're completely scrapping it. Or what they're scrapping are the dueling games at the same time. Which is why there's an inventory right now of games that they were bidding for that Fox got an extra game and then BC got an extra game.
Yeah, because I was going to say they'll put us at that late Monday night game. Where they're like,
yeah, I think we'll get one Monday, one Thursday,
late Monday night game.
Mexico, is that on a Thursday or something, or just
it'll probably be Sunday morning? No, actually, no. The time I keep thinking they're overseas, they're literally in the same time zone.
It's gonna be Sunday night game. You watch,
so we'll get a Monday, a Thursday, a Sunday, and then at the end of the season, they'll flex us into a competitive game.
I'm not saying.
Man,
I hope TD's right, man. I hope he's got that crystal ball going. I hope TD's
it's
right.
Okay. Everybody can kill me now and then just come back in a few months. He's like, oh my gosh, he threw all that against the wall again. Also, I know who Tom Selleck is, people. I just didn't know.
I wasn't even there for that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because like, you did the research since then. Of course, you know who he is now.
No. Here's the thing. I don't know a lot of the actors by their real name because I'm a Blue Bloods. I done seen every episode of Blue Bloods, you know, so I know who he is.
What's his name on Blue Bloods? That's not Tom Selleck?
No.
Is it Tom Selleck on Blue Bloods? No. Yeah.
The actor, yes.
Yeah.
No, it's just
the chief.
Chief Reagan.
That's the character's name. The actor is Tom Selleck.
What's the character name?
I don't know. I've never watched Blue Bloods.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. I didn't know his name was Tom Selleck, but I know who Tom Selleck was.
Do you now know who Gumby is?
Let me look.
Gumby?
Because I got a million inboxes. I'm like, is it that serious, people?
Fighting Gumby?
Gumby.
I loved Gumby.
Thank you.
I also loved when Eddie Murphy was Gumby. I'm Gumby, dumb it.
I'm Gumby, dumb it. Omar doesn't know who Gumby is either.
I know who Gumby is. I just never found it entertaining.
You talking about the green cartoon thing?
Yes.
Yeah, Claymation.
Oh,
Gumby.
I mean, I remember seeing it when I was young.
I know the theme song and everything. You want me to sing it for you guys?
That was a horrible cartoon. Horrible.
Yeah. You want me to sing the theme song for you guys? The Gumby. No.
They got a movie?
A Gumby movie?
And Magnum P.I. What is like? I don't know what Magnum P.I. is.
How old are you, TD?
41.
Really?
He should know. If I know what my guy is at 38,
he lived in Hawaii. He drove a Ferrari.
Thank you.
And hell.
Oh, Tom Selleck again.
Cheers.
Word of mouth wants me to sing Gumby, the Gumby theme song. Do you guys know the Gumby theme song?
I don't know the Gumby
theme song. He's here and he is ready to play Gumby. Let's all see what magical things he
can do. I don't know.
I thought Gumby was a horrible cartoon. For the record.
Gumby, man.
Yeah, Magnum P.I. came out in 1980. I was born in 85, and I was a kid when it was in its prime, probably.
You ever heard of reruns? What's a rerun?
Alan, I was outside on the block playing football on the concrete.
Nice. So was I. I was playing football or hockey in the street.
Yeah, I've never watched Magnum P.I. ever in my life, so yeah.
Broward Dolphin said, left my A off. Imagine someone tuning in right now for the first time. I'm singing the Gumby theme song. We're talking about
what is this?
Let's get to these donations. Joe Bro, been a member for 11 months. He said, glad I, and then that's it. I'm assuming he
Gladiator One. I
love the image of the punt going right up the player's tuchus. Scared the crap out of me that game. I was like, we are about to lose to the Bills after having that lead, aren't we?
Was that Trent Sherfield?
I think it was. He took the punt right up the butt. Ted with the tenor said, for poop, can you recall a time in Dolphins history or other teams when a roster full of one-year deals produced quality outcomes on the field? Curious to see how this current structure works out.
I will say this.
Are you poop now? Are you poop now?
My bad.
My very quick answer before I yield to Omar is no, I do not recall you have that kind of roster loaded with young players or players on one-year deals to this extent. Generally speaking, you're looking at a difficult season. But to me, it's not even about the one-loss record. It's about the Dolphins showing gradual improvement in year one of Apley's regime. Go ahead, Omar.
I was going to say, if you really look at the New England Patriots roster, outside of them spending money in free agency and then having an established quarterback entering year two, there isn't really that much significant difference between what the Patriots did last year in terms of their turnaround and what the Dolphins are beginning the process with. But maybe it's more like Patriots in 2024.
Interesting. Chip said, it's the name John Jerry if you would have said Leonard Davis instead. Oh,
that's a great name from the past. Leonard Davis.
I don't remember Leonard Davis's game. I don't remember. I never saw him up close and personal. So
big dude. Tackle for the Arizona Cardinals, if memory serves. Big dude.
Garp Gump said the 2014 New England Patriots held the record for the youngest roster to win a Super Bowl with an average age of 25.2 years. Same average as Fitz.
Oh, yeah.
He also had a 35-year-old quarterback.
Yeah, stop it, Alan. Stop.
What?
He can be just as good as Brady.
Oh, with the average age. Oh, yeah. This the whole average age thing. Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I think it's ridiculous to bring up, like, your age is like 1.7 years from the oldest team in the league. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does that make?
The
age? I hate when coaches attach themselves. Oh, we'll have one of the youngest rosters in the league. You just want to build an excuse for being mediocre. Like, no.
Sometimes it matters in the sense of, you know, guys may have less injury risk.
Okay, that's fair. And may have a little bit more durability. That's cool. But Kansas City's the second youngest team in the NFL. You think a healthy Kansas City with Patrick Mahomes back is not going to make a title run? Like, don't use that as an excuse for why you're being mediocre. Because you, like, I hate when coaches do that. Oh, we're going to have a second youngest. Like, when has it paid off for you having the youngest team in the NFL?
Chiefs got a lot of young players now.
It's the only time it really pays off.
Yeah, and I'm looking at their roster right now, and it's, again, it's skewed by maybe a lot of the backups because the frontline players, Brady was 37, Rob Ninkovich was 30, Darrell Revis, 29, Vince Wilfork was 33. Patrick Chung, 27, Dan Conley, 32, Edelman, 20. I mean, yeah, that whole average age can get skewed very easily, too. So I hear what you're saying.
Omar, you hate the age average. I hate strength of schedule.
Oh, you preaching to the choir.
It's the worst, man. It means
nothing. It's the dumbest thing ever. Like
nothing. And for if we do an early show Wednesday before the schedule, I'm going to come with some facts and show you how many times teams with the hardest strength of schedule and the year had the easiest strength of schedule. It happens
all the time.
Because all I'm saying.
Nothing.
It's always predicated on who's injured at the time that you play them. And Bufar used to say this all the time. I forget what team it was that you used to discredit. Oh, 2023, because they played nothing but backups? Or was it 16? There was a good Dolphins team that all they did was play, like, backup quarterbacks the whole year.
Yeah, 23.
It was 23?
Yeah, our standout year, of course. I mean,
there was another – I think it was –
And they didn't beat any good teams. They ran through a gauntlet of like Mike Glennon, Cam Newton, who was way past his prime. Ian Book, who they played.
I think they had Joe Flacco.
Oh, that might have been 21. Sorry, that might have been 21.
It was because I was going to say, I think it was 22 or something.
It was 22, maybe 22.
We were looking at the back end of the schedule, and we were like, wow, look at that stretch of games. And then when we actually got there, it was
nothing.
That's all I'm saying. When people out here, oh, we got a hard schedule. Simmer down. Excuse me.
You know what you would need, TD, for your dreams to come to fruition? You would actually need somebody to step up and become a monster on offense and defense. For your offense, I could give you Malik Willis. Go ahead. You could take it.
I don't know
who the hell he's throwing to. But
Caleb Douglas. Y'all going to learn. Go ahead.
Okay. Who's going to step up on defense?
Jacob Rodriguez and Chris Johnson.
Sealer.
Man,
he got in the back of his helmet? Defense talk, and he's just mad. He's like, this man can't even say my name. I'm a man.
Am I saying it wrong, Sealer? Am I saying it wrong?
By the way, since we're doing this, I asked the dude himself on Friday. It's pronounced Mason Reiger.
Reiger.
It's Zach Sealer.
Sealer. I have to write him down. Like Max Llewellyn. I couldn't figure out Llewellyn if my life depended on it because I read phonetically. So I'm like, what? There's no.
I didn't get a chance to look at him up close and personal.
When are they putting out the recording of them saying their names? I need that.
Good question. Rona Savainaya.
Only took me a year.
Like Devon Achan, I think we were calling him. We weren't calling him Achan. We were calling him something different. Yeah.
Achan. Yeah, and he had to tell us how to write his first name, which was I thought was cute. Yeah,
it was like DE-VON.
Yeah, DE-VON. Yeah.
Devon. Miller said, Poop, educate these fellas and look up the 2023 Green Bay draft class. 13 picks. How did that pan out? Fantastic. They went to the Super Bowl.
Educate the fellas, Poop.
I'm looking for it right now. I don't like I wouldn't know off the top of my head. What year was it? 2023?
Lucas Van Ness, outside linebacker. Luke Musgrave, the tight end. Luke Musgrave's
doing really well right now.
Very. Jaden Reed, wide receiver.
Nice player.
Tucker Kraft, tight end.
He's doing well.
Then they went two tight ends in the first three rounds. Interesting. Kobe Wooden, Sean Clifford, Dontavion Wicks, Carl Brooks, Andres Carlos, Carrington, Valentine, Lou Nicholas III, Anthony Johnson, and Grant DeBose.
They got four or five starters out of that?
About five.
I remember Grant DeBose. I don't know why.
Do you remember Grant DeBose? Yeah. I don't think he's ever played again. I mean, he had that nasty, and I mean nasty.
They're actually touted as one of the best draft classes with eight guys that are key contributors out of that class. Jaden Reed, Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, Lucas Van Ness, Dontavion Wicks, Carrington, Carl Brooks, and Andres Carrison.
You were right about Grant DeBose. He had that nasty concussion against Houston.
Houston, yeah. And I don't think he's played ever since. Anders Carlson, by the way, is not on the team right now. So,
what Packer receiver did they trade? Didn't they trade a Packer receiver?
Yeah, Wicks.
Wicks. Ted said with another tenor, so TD, let me get this right. Malik Ball's out after 1 year and you're ready to extend. I think we should avoid that approach given what we did with the last guy. I'm just saying.
You know what it takes? What it takes to ball out, the last guy never balled out, in my opinion, by the way, just so you know. Balling out, it tells me you have moments where you actually carry the team. You put them on your back. When you show that, you're worth it. All you got to do is show that you can, then we know you can, and you're worth it. But so the last guy to show that
you
that.
Can do it?
You can put the team on your back. That's all you got to do is show it. If you can put the team on your back.
Never showed that he can do it?
Not once, Doug, that he can put the team on his back.
Baltimore Ravens.
Oh, my God. Stop it. He started the game with two picks.
And did Arizona he not Cardinals. Put the team on his back? And
no. Oh, my God. No. Do I have to do this?
We're not doing this.
You know one thing I never respect?
This is why I don't.
One thing I never respect from NFL players and quarterbacks?
Not anymore. Nope.
No, if you dig the hole, I don't care that you got out of it. If you dug it, don't act like I'm supposed to give you credit for getting out of it.
But you do it for the other quarterbacks.
No, find me a game in recent NFL history where wide receivers are running free like they're in a park all afternoon, like the Dolphins did.
They got a rookie on Tyreek Hill man coverage, and he just blindly throwing a 40-yard comeback. You know,
excuses.
I was just answering Ted Allen's question. Yeah, okay,
are we gonna discredit the game-winning touchdown?
How he got
to that point? Are we going to discredit the Craycraft touchdown where he spun out of pressure?
Are we talking about the Ravens game, Doug?
Yeah.
See, this is another thing. Anytime you can only point to one game,
Carolina,
out of 75 or whatever, that's a problem.
I just need one game.
He didn't in Baltimore either. That was a team effort. That was Tyreek Hill. That was everybody.
You got me. I'm just going to say you got me. You sucked me. I can find more, but it's pointless because he's not on the team anymore.
Hey, Ted Allen brought it up.
Now I got to deal with getting called to an ear in the comment sections again. Look what you did, TD. This is your fault.
You're a rational man, and you're just bringing up facts. Listen, when Tua is balling for Atlanta in his perfectly climated dome with his weaponry around him and a respectable offensive line, I want to hear nothing. I want to hear nothing. And his arm that's come back from the death sentence that it was given, I want to hear nothing. You know?
I just think it's funny that we talk about Tyreek being butt naked open. Was it only two touchdown passes?
No, the entire afternoon. And Tua played a role in that win. I mean, it's not like he was just a passenger, but to say like he carried the team on his back, I mean.
No, he didn't carry the team. He did his job, though. He did his job in the second half.
Thank you, Pupar. I appreciate it.
They better against the Chargers in the 23 opener than they did against Baltimore in 23.
So do you think?
And they turned out to be the worst defense in the NFL that year. The worst. Always ranked 32nd.
Okay. Excuses.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fact. Any excuse? The Chargers turned out to be the 32nd ranked defense in the NFL.
I will tell you this. He did ball out at times.
But just didn't carry anybody. That's all. He did ball out at times. Play Chicago, played
a lot of people, a lot of money, including himself.
Yeah.
Jalen Waddle got a lot of money.
Did not deserve it.
Tyreek Hill got a lot of money.
Ted said the newly added linebacking core offensive line additions with Proctor are the only real areas of focus for John Eric Sullivan this season. Everything else is duct taped to get us by.
Duct taped to get us by.
Wow. Yeah, they didn't really focus on pass rusher.
Tied in.
There's only so much they could address in one offseason, as John Eric Sullivan said.
Got to remind himself.
Rome wasn't built in a day.
Yep. Cody said, why did they build such a small defense?
Versatility is what they want on defense.
Is it a small defense?
It is.
Well, Rodriguez is undersized. Kyle Lewis is undersized. Chris Johnson is not a big dude.
Michael Taft is undersized.
Michael Taft is.
Don't do it to yourself, Omar.
defensive ends are not NFL defensive ends. They're college.
Do we care if the linebackers are undersized?
If the defensive tackles can't keep them clean, you will care. You know, They got defensive tackles. Got to keep them clean. We'll see.
KG.
And then Chris, the bartender, 40-yard comebacks. TD sticks with a joke longer than Dolphins stick with mediocre quarterbacks. Love the show, all you guys. Fits up. We appreciate you, Chris, the bartender.
Sure, it's a new route, man. It's on the route tree now.
I'm going to be throwing them in Atlanta. You know, I have one person on Twitter who I was like, so you're not a Dolphin fan anymore? His image is Tua as a Falcons quarterback, and he gets on me constantly about why did we let Waddle go and why do we let Tua go and McDaniel this and this team's gonna suck. And I'm like, so you're not a Dolphins fan anymore? No, I am. Like, what? it doesn't make any sense. But we're gonna get out of here. Thanks for hanging out. I think this was a good episode. It was a fun episode. We'll see you guys Wednesday. Like I said, we'll do a preview. We'll kind of go more in depth on where we want to buy and who we want to play when and all that stuff. And then the schedule will be out Thursday, and then we'll react to the schedule on Friday. Like I said, this whole week is going to be schedule week. And then next week, OTAs. So the time might be a little bit different next week because the boys to my left, your right, and it's going to be at OTAs. But go check out Omar Kelly on the Miami Herald, Alan Poupart. Like he said, he's got a nice schedule article out there on Miami Dolphins on SI. Go check out TD on TD Fins Talk, Roundtable Sports, and myself, youtube.com/WDoWrong. We are out. See you Wednesday.